Pam's gonna tell you, just pulled up Palmer, Wilson, Dennis, there's, with the same title, Guide Me Without Great Jehovah. He sang the words of this one with the music to the other one that we're familiar with.
But it worked.
It worked, I was very familiar with it, so I can, you're okay. Mentioned before, this is 9 in the book of Colossians, that'll be in 2 weeks from tonight, we should say, Lord willing. When I look over my notes, like even this afternoon, just reviewing, sometimes I look at them and I think, this would be a better than for a Bible class, just because it's so practical and concerns itself with daily living. I'm sure there'd be a lot of dialogue or conversation back and forth, rather than just having me make a presentation of the text. But we'll make the presentation anyway. I want to read the text first, Colossians chapter 4, just verses 2 through 6. You can follow along either on the notes or just as I read. But I broke it down into two major sections and two things about each one of those. First of all, watch and pray, and then walk and talk. So I think Paul gets that in the text. So here it is. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest, as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Interesting phrase, those who are outside. Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. All right. Shorter reading this time. Let's take a look at each of these phrases that Paul mentions in this section. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we'll finish up with the 10 names that Paul mentions in the rest of the chapter and introduce you to them. First thing he says is to watch and pray. And the first thing is continue earnestly in prayer. Now there's an admonition, isn't there? There's a word of exhortation. Continue in earnestly in prayer. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication, being to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. Pray. When Jesus introduced a parable in Luke 18, verse 1, it says that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Hope you never get tired of praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, Paul's not urging long prayers. Pray without ceasing. But continue the habit of prayer. Don't give up on prayer. It's a walk and it's a talk with God. Continue earnestly in prayer. There's an exhortation. Next, he said in verse 2, being vigilant in it. King James says watching. Watching therein. It means to be alert. If you're going to be vigilant and watch, it means to stay awake. Look for opportunities to pray. We have that section prayerfully remembered in our bulletin. Sometimes get out your directory and just turn page by page. I want to pray for something about that one, that person. And then an interesting phrase, next, after continuing earnestly and being vigilant and watching, with thanksgiving. Now put in your notes, there's 6 references just in these 4 chapters to being thankful. Being thankful. There's a song in our book, one of my favorites too. And, you know, count your many blessings. Name them. One by one. Count your many blessings. When you're, one of the phrases is, when count your many blessings, or no, the opening phrase, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, Why? Life's billows and tempest tossed. When you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, now count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. And then the next thing he mentions, in verse 3, he's in chains. And Paul, you're telling us to be thankful? Look at your situation. Yeah. Be thankful. Number 4, I put pray with a purpose. Well, Paul does it too, but I've made an outline of it. But pray with, I mentioned 5 things in the text. Pray with a purpose. First of all, Paul mentions, meanwhile, praying also for us. Think about someone specifically to pray for. And then maybe another and another. But Paul says, pray for me. For us, we who are in Rome. Pray with a purpose. Pray with, think about somebody to pray for. Second, he says, and that God would open to us a door for the word. So now you pray for opportunity. Pray for a door. I don't think I've ever said that phrase specifically. God, open a door for us. But it's right here in the text. Well, you know, you've heard the phrase, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. That just means somewhere out there, there's a horrible cabinet maker. Close one door. Sounds like some of our kitchens, doesn't it? But Paul says, you pray for a door to be opened. He did that on his journey in Acts 14, verse 27. They into Antioch. They'd come together. They gathered the church together. Oh, the church comes together. They reported all that God had done with them. And that he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. A door. Paul used the phrase again in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, for a great and effectual door has opened to me. Now there's many adversaries. But there's a door. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, furthermore, Paul said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. Never thought about saying, God, open a door. Open a door. I'm going to add that. So there's a time and a purpose to pray for God to open doors. Next, he said, pray for the word. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 9, says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Ah, pray for the word. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 concerning the young man Timothy, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In verse 16, the same chapter. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul, remember, said, preach the word. So now Paul is saying right here to these brethren in Colossae, I want God to open a door for the word. For the word. Now sometimes before I preach, you know, Sunday mornings, they mention we pray for Brian who's about to deliver the lesson to us, and we pray for hearts to be open. We pray for an open door. Yeah. We pray for the word, that it will reach people, that brethren will take it to heart. Paul gives a phrase, and I want you to pray that I may speak the mystery of Christ. The mystery. I got a couple places to read, but here's what the mystery is. It's right in the text. I'll read from Ephesians. I'll take the one from Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages. So here's the definition of what is the mystery of the gospel. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, to the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That the gospel is now for the Gentiles. What's the mystery? It's that which was hidden throughout the Old Testament, but now through the gospel is preached to all the world. The mystery is not a mystery anymore. The gospel is for everybody, to every creature. Number five, he mentioned, now I want to, when we pray for a purpose, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I put in your notes, that's the prayer of every speaker. Every preacher, Bible class teacher. I pray that the message I preach is clear, manifest. And as I ought to speak. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth. Loving way. In Ephesians 6, 19, Paul says, praying always and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, of which I'm an ambassador. Yeah. Pray for me. That when I preach, things are clear. Help me to make it understandable and to be received. Help me. Pray for that. So Paul, in this opening verse, these verses, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Second, he mentions in verses 5 and 6 about our action, as I said that phrase, toward those who are outside. So first thing he says, walk in wisdom. And obviously, walk refers to the way we conduct ourselves day by day. The way we walk, manner of life. It's a reminder about how our lives affects the credibility of the words we say. The way we walk and live affects the credibility of our message. That phrase, to those who are outside. In other words, others are going to watch us to see if we practice what we preach. Others on the outside are watching us to see if we're going to walk the talk. We have a right to say things, but others don't have the right to listen. They can shut what I have to say down anytime. I hear his voice, but I'm not going to listen. Someone said, the best argument for Christianity are the Christians. And the strongest argument against Christianity are the Christians. Walk and talk. Make sure it matches for those who are out on the outside. Paul addressed the Ephesians on how to walk in Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What God has designed, walk in them. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Walk worthy. Chapter in Ephesians 5, verse 2, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. So there's a prescribed manner or way in which to walk. Walk. So he said, walk in wisdom. In wisdom. Then he mentioned redeeming the time. Paul says it, same phrase again, Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. A time. So as I go about my walk, there will be opportunities. Maybe to be benevolent or missionary minded or encouraging. I want to. The other one is next in verse 6. And let your speech always be. So we'll walk and talk. So now we have a right walk and a right talk. Let your speech with grace. So the way that I speak, gracious, benevolent, helpful, uplifting, encouraging. There's a time for that speech, especially toward those who are on the outside watching. I want my speech to be with grace. Seasoned. Think about speech. You know, I'm just putting your notes. It ought to be tasty or enjoyable. Season your speech. Make it delicious. Make people what you have. Season. You don't want your speech to be salty, just seasoned with salt. Then the last one I put, Paul said, that you may know how you are each one. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to answer anyone that man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. And answer him with meekness and fear. So we'll be careful how we speak, how we answer, how we teach, or make our presence. So that's the lesson for this one. We mentioned next 2 weeks, really, I'll introduce you to the ten that Paul mentions in the rest. I know we have a business meeting after the assembly, so I had more to say, but I'm going to stop there. Always at the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation. I add a couple words to that, a word of exhortation. Invitation and exhortation. You know, in Acts chapter 2, many other words, he testified and exhorted them. It's a word of exhortation in this invitation. Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. You've heard the good news message, the gospel message, that God so loved the world. Believe it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. Then we'll need to repent. Jesus said it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or perish. Then we'll want to make our confession of faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then based upon that word of faith, that testimony, that confession, we will be baptized for remission of sins. The Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes, take that message to heart, and is baptized shall be saved. So we extend that invitation and we make it a word of exhortation. Why not tonight? Why not now? If you haven't done so already. Let's stand together. We'll sing this is selected for us. If you're to that invitation, that's your desire, your resolve this evening, to simply let that request be known at the close of this song.